Morning.
How are you?
Good morning, sir. Well, good morning. Who's going to take credit for warm weather and sunshine? We got more volunteers than when it's 20 below with a wind chill, right? Okay, so we're going to be looking here at faith is resistant to temptation. Okay. Morning. Any particular prayer requests that you have here this morning? Mike?
Just continue to pray for my son-in-law, James, my grandson and his family who left this weekend. His dad still has a real bad sore in the size of his neck with radiation. And also for my grandson, Eli, my great-grandson, I should say, Eli. Yeah, he's teething, he's got a little bit of fever. That's why we decided to go home today instead of coming to church. So, safe travels for them back to Indiana.
We got to get a further loop that goes around Chicago, right? A wider one. Yeah, okay. All right, Mark?
Brother-in-law,
has a cancer in his brain that's not curable, and they elected not to do the chemo because it just prolonged it. And it became a family decision that they did not want to do any chemo. And they started off with a year and a half, and now it's literally just a few months if that.
Mm. And that's Mark, right?
Bukowski prayed for opportunities to witness to him about salvation.
Okay, all right. Anything else? Okay. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to study your word. We think about temptation, something we all face. We do pray that you'll guide us in our study. We do ask that you might continue to undertake for Mike's son-in-law, James, with these sores on his neck as a result of the radiation treatments he had for cancer. We pray that you'd enable that to heal up and him to be back to normal here soon and being able to eat normal. Thank you for the little bit of weight gain that he's received from this. We think, too, of Mike's great-grandson, Eli. Little guy, not feeling well, teething and fever. Pray that you can be a long, loud ride home. If we pray that you calm him down and give them safety through Chicago and back to their home there in Indiana. Think of Mark's brother-in-law, Mark, and as he has this brain cancer and a terminal outcome of it, we do pray that you'd help him to be open and receptive to Mark or others that might talk to him about his relationship with the Lord, that he might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before his time is up. We ask that you continue to motivate all of us to reach out to those around about us, and that we be bold in sharing Christ. We ask now, again, you guide us with our study here in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so lesson number 3, faith is resistant to temptation. You know, there's a variety pack of temptations out there. You know, if we go around the room, if we were able to be open and honest, there's probably as many different types of temptation out there as there are people, and we need to be alert to it, you know, so we don't get taken by surprise, and when we're not paying attention. Our key verse for this week is found in James 1:17. That tells us another truth we'll be looking at here, Lord willing, today. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we're going to be looking at the matter of temptation and also God's perfect gifts. And we'll see how those two kind of relate to one another. You've probably all had guests in your home at some point in time, and maybe the ones you know well, or other ones that maybe it's kind of their first time being in your home. Through the years, we've had a number of different missionaries, and this would sometimes happen when they would back when we had an evening service, we'd have them for lunch and we'd say, well, make yourself at home, you know, here's a bed if you want to take a nap, here's where the bathrooms are at, and anything else you need, just kind of make yourself at home. You know, there's cold drinks in the fridge or whatever. And but we also need to stop and think about, are we at home in this world? You know, we talk about here lately, our citizenship is that of heaven, and we ought not to really count on this world to be our home. We're here for a while, okay, and Depends on which end of the scale you're on. If you're just getting started, like young folks in the back row, that's a long time ahead of you. Other ones, well, we don't know how much time we got left, okay? Really, none of us do. But the world's telling us to make ourselves at home, you know? Just relax and enjoy everything that's around you. And yet we have to be alert because all the things that the world has to offer us are not necessarily good for us. And so the Lord wants us to, through James here, again, he's talking to these believers that had been persecuted, fearing persecution, fled out of Jerusalem. They're scattered all over the place. And there might be some temptations that wherever they landed that they weren't experiencing in Jerusalem. Or the other thing is, you hear this, what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas or whatever. It's like when we're away from home, nobody knows us, we can cut loose and nobody will know the difference. Is that true? No. Lord knows what's going on. Doesn't matter where you're at, okay? And that's the one that's we need to be thinking about. And so, but again, there's a lot of different kinds of temptations out there, and the Lord wants us to be to alert to that. As we begin to look here, we're going to hear in James chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Okay, so sometimes we're tempted. We're wanting something that we don't have, right? That's usually the temptation. And, it's on the billboards out there. You know, we come across the freeway and there's different ones. Some of them, you know, they're fancy. They rotate the message. Whatever they're trying to advertise. The one that used to stick in my mind is, "You deserve a Buick," you know, or whatever. So, people get pulled into things. Lots of times they really don't know too much about. And I don't remember the fellow's name, but I think we probably all saw some of that, at least on TV. The Bitcoin guy that had his Ponzi scheme kind of rigged up, and people were throwing, I was reading a little bit about that, and people were throwing money at him so fast he didn't quite know what to do with all of it. And so he was giving it away to different organizations and so on. But, it finally caught up with him. But he said it was greed. Again, people thought, hey, this is a get rich deal. You know, look at all the money these people are making. You know, I want to get in on it. And, of course, the more money you put in, the more money you expect to get back. And so some people were throwing their whole life savings at this stuff, only to find out that they lost it all, you know. And some people are kind of hooked on the lottery, thinking that's going to get rich. And, you know, there's how many million to one chance you're going to be that winner? You can throw an awful lot of money at it before you get anything back. So greed can be something that, and again, it's got to be something that we're interested in. And so the devil's been following us around long enough to kind of know some of the things that we might be interested in. So he's probably not going to waste a lot of time trying to tempt you with something that he's pretty sure isn't going to work. But some of you guys are fishermen, you know how that works. You throw out that lure and they're, maybe it's live bait that they're eating on today. Maybe it's some kind of a weight or a plug of some kind. If this color doesn't work, we'll trade and so on. Trying to tempt that fish to bite on that hook, you know, and sometimes they do, you know. Sometimes the fish are biting, sometimes they're not. Sometimes people are tempted, sometimes they're not. But we have to be alert to it. But he kind of sets the record straight, because sometimes people blame God for things that have gone wrong. You know, it's God's fault. When did that start anyway? Didn't have to wait too long, did we? You know, with Adam and Eve. What was Adam's excuse? It's that woman you gave me. Yeah, she made me do it. Okay. Yeah, we're trying to pass the buck. We're trying to blame it on somebody else. But he says, don't try to hang that one on God because it doesn't fit. All right. He says, no man, when he's tempted, is tempted of God. Okay. God doesn't tempt us. And you can't tempt God. All right. And so, you know, it's kind of, what was it? Was it Reagan? They used to call it Teflon Man. Nothing seemed to stick. They tried to throw all kinds of stuff at him. But you can't stick that one on God either, okay, if you're tempted. So if it's not God that's tempting us, what kind of options are there left? Who wants to mess up our lives? Satan. And we're sometimes deceived or gullible enough to go along with his trickery, okay? And so we see here, we all have that ability to sin. Wouldn't that be great if we somehow, when we trusted Christ for salvation, that we got some kind of inoculation against sin, that it just wouldn't work anymore, you know? We found that some of those inoculations don't work quite like they're supposed to. But there isn't one. We still have the capacity to sin. And the Lord can help us to stay away from it, okay? But what's the problem? Why do we still have that ability to sin? Yeah, we're still this side of heaven. What do we still have that maybe we'd like to get rid of? Okay, free will, ability to make choices.
Sinful nature.
Yeah, we still have that old sinful nature. You know, it'd be nice if it was kind of like cars. You know, you take the old one in, you trade it in. Do you remember when they had? I think I heard that for a long time, but remember when they had push, pull, or drag? You know, just get this thing here somehow or another, and we'll give you $500 or whatever it was. You know, I debated a few times with whether I had something that I could drag in and get some money for, but they're making money up on the other end. But the thing is, it doesn't work that. We don't get to trade the old nature in on the new one. We have both, okay? And it's kind of, you've heard that account too. It's the old Indian that they were asking, he's got two dogs and you know, which one's the strongest? Well, it's the one that I feed, okay? And if we're feeding the old nature, that's the strong one. If we're feeding the new nature, that's going to be the strongest, okay? But we still have that capacity to sin. And now, is it a sin to be tempted? I'm stealing. No, it's not a sin to be tempted. When does it become sin? Yeah, when you act on it. Okay. The thing is, sometimes we're playing kind of Russian roulette, you know, with the gun that's got one bullet in it, and you spin it and, you know, you don't know if it's what's going to happen. Well, sometimes people play that kind of game with sin. How close can I get this? Well, let's just say this old blue hair sin. How close can I get to this thing without it being sin? What's the problem with that? Closer you get to it, more you're attracted to it, you know, and your willpower, whatever, is weakened, all right? And so, yeah, the further you stay away from it, the better. And that's why I tell you guys when we have fellowship time or whatever, and you're bringing in the donuts and all this stuff, don't leave that around, because I can say no to it on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday. About Thursday, I mean, they're starting to dry out, but they're still there looking at me saying, eat me. Yeah, so, we have to, and it's not just willpower. It's the Lord helping us. But the thing is, now for somebody that doesn't like sweets, it's no big deal, but I like them. They like me. They want to live in my body. Take up residence there. But, you know, the Bible talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil, you know. That we got to really look out, because it's not just one thing or another. And that's the source of temptation, you know. It usually comes from one of those three areas. And so we have to, again, to be alert to it. So there's the enticement to sin. Okay, it's that dangling, that shiny thing out there, you know. And you do, I mean, we do that with kids, don't we? Mine aren't here, so I can say that. But we used to go to this, when we lived in Minnesota, they were little. And I probably told you this story. You've heard all my stories by now. We go to, once in a while, we go over to Rochester and had a nice big mall. Well, they had a KB toy. KB Toy. Well, what kid doesn't want to go into KB Toy? Well, we're getting close to KB Toy, and hey, look it over here, you know? Zoom that stroller right on past, you know? You know, and look at the shiny object over here. Yeah, well, we're enticed to sin. And again, like I said, Satan's followed us around long enough to know what kind of bait he might be able to use on us. And but he says there in verse 14, he says, but every man or woman or child, okay, all of us is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust or his desire and enticed. Okay, he said all of us can be tempted. All right, nobody's immune from this. And about the time you think you're not, you kind of let the guard down and then you're in trouble. I remember a professor telling us about when he had went to Dallas Theological Seminary, and I don't know all the details anymore, but anyway, they were talking about pornography, you know, and one of the guys said, ah, that stuff doesn't bother me. You know, I could look at that, and that won't bother me. And so, I don't know if he decided he was going to test it or what. Long story short, he might have not bothered him for a while, but eventually it caught up with him. You know, messed up his life, you know, ends up divorced and from his wife and you know, it was a mess, you know. And it's like, don't play with fire, you know, because sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. You know, and again, we're all susceptible to that, you know. None of us have, you know, been inoculated so that we can't sin. And different things attract us. And you know, sometimes it's like if you're hunting, you know, sometimes that they're put, I don't know if that's legal or not, you put out some kind of bait or something to try to attract the animals to come out. Or it's the sight of something. You're tempting them. You know, sometimes I watch some of these Alaska shows, and they're trapping, you know, and they'll put some old dead, nasty-smelling fish thing up on a trap, trying to get some animal to crawl up the limb, and next thing you know, he's caught, right? But God doesn't solicit us to evil. It can be inside sources, it can be outside sources that entice us into that. And, you know, Satan wants to do the same kind of trickery on us that worked on Adam and Eve. Remember, he tried to convince Adam and Eve, you know, God's kind of holding out on you. You know, he just doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. That's why he doesn't want you to have that bite the fruit of that tree. You know, and so you know, people get the idea, well, you know, I'm praying, I'm not getting this. And so, you know, God's kind of holding out on me. And the world comes along and says, here's a shortcut. Here's a way that you can get rich quick or whatever, you know. That money you need, okay, it's tax season. You know, maybe you can jiggle the numbers a little bit, lie a little here and there, and somehow come up with the funds that you need or something. All right? And again, but what God promises, as we're going to see here, He promises good gifts, not deceitful gifts. Okay? It's like people who get into drugs. You know, most of them don't start out with shooting heroin or something else, some high-powered stuff. You know, it's, oh, here, have a little drag of this, you know. A little pot never hurt anybody, you know. And it's, as they say, it's a gateway, you know. It's a way, this is going to make you feel so good. They don't tell you where you're going to end, where it's going to lead you, okay. But it's an enticement to draw you in. So it's like other things. They'll give it to you for a while till they know that you're hooked. Now we got a client for life, right? And there's a lot of different things out there that can really mess up our lives in a hurry. But Satan offers the counterfeit. He's the faker in the bunch. And he promises one thing, but ends up giving you something else. You ever go to find the stores that do that bait and switch? You know, they advertise something, and you go there thinking you're going to get a good deal. Oh, well, yeah, we only got 5 of those, you know, for a city of 1 million, you know. But here we've got this other one, you know. This is really good, too. There's all kinds of traps out there. So there's the entrapment of sin. Looking on into verse 5, it says, when lust or desire hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Okay, so we've been tempted, but then, as we said, when we partake of that sin, when we finally follow through with it, it says, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Again, it may look pretty good at the beginning, kind of like that fish. Man, that looks like a really good-looking worm, or that minnow sure looks good, whatever. And then about the time he bites down on that hook and somebody's dragging him in, wow, that was a bad decision, but it's too late then. And you know, lots of times people get hooked on, what was that, Nancy Reagan? Remember they used to put these signs up around the school, say no to drugs. We don't see that up anymore, but maybe they should put those back up. But it's once you're hooked, it's hard getting loose, you know. Nobody probably thinks they're going to get hooked for life on something like that. The one guy that sticks in my mind, you know, he was an alcoholic. And he was the son of an older couple in our church there in Minnesota. And they wanted to know if he was in hospital. And I thought I'd go see the guy. And I don't know. Skin looked about like that. Yellow. Cirrhosis of the liver. You know, and we talked a bit. And I forget now. He'd been through 6 or 7 different alcohol treatment programs. But it was like, okay, go to jail or take treatment. So he'd always choose treatment. Well, after you've been through this a couple times, you know what you're supposed to say or do just to get through, you know. You can stand up, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, and, you know, we admit this, and so on and so forth. And, you know, pretty soon you're turned loose. He said, I'd walk out of the treatment center and head for the nearest bar and start all over again, you know. Now, he probably never thought that that was going to have that kind of an impact on his life. But my thinking is, if you never start it, you don't have to worry about getting hooked. You know, you don't have to worry about it turning your life upside down. And nobody knows how it's going to work out. Not everybody ends up being an addict. But do you know that you or your kids or somebody, that it's not going to have an impact on them? Not to rerun a message that's going to be on the radio, but I remember talking to one guy that he didn't seem to have a problem with Christians drinking. And he, He was real evangelistic type. And he wanted to see his dad come to know the Lord. And yet he would tell me that he liked going over to his dad's house and drinking highballs. I had to look that up to see exactly what that was. Well, it's a mixed drink. You know, and sat around. And I'm thinking, wonder what dad thinks of that. I think most Christians or most unbelievers would think, Christians probably not supposed to be drinking this, but, you know, he thought it was okay. Well, I thought, how's it going to work out? You got 4 or 5 kids. What kind of an example is that? Well, I'm going to teach them how to drink responsibly. Well, let's see how that works out. Do you think they're all going to just stop before they drink too much? You know, and what if you get a DWI on the way home? Oh, my dad's got a breath, really good breathalyzer. So I make sure that I'm not over the limit before I drive home. Well, okay, maybe you're not over the limit, but you're impaired. You're putting your life, the life of your family or other people out on the road at risk because you're out there half lit. You know, I don't see any good results of this, but he didn't seem to think that was a problem. Well, he'd been deceived, folks, and him buying into that was putting the rest of his family at risk. And anybody else, well, or other people, maybe young new believers. Oh, well, he's doing it, and he's been saved for X number of years, so it must be okay. Well, yeah, we can mess up somebody. We can be a stumbling block for somebody else's life. Well, okay, so we can get entrapped to sin, and we can follow through with it. You know, it brings forth sin. It brings forth death. Wow. Does that mean about time we sin, we're just going to drop over? Did that happen to Adam and Eve? No. But okay, because we don't instantly die, is that okay then? Well, we don't believe that you can lose your salvation, but is it possible to be a believer and live like you don't know the Lord? Probably know a few people out there living like that. Oh, I don't need to go to church, you know. I can sit at home and be a Christian. And another interpretation of this, too, is that it may be literal death. It may not happen the next day, the next week, the next month, maybe down the road a little ways. Maybe God gives you a little bit of time to make that choice to repent and turn from the sin. But if you continue on in it, God's not obliged to just let you live it on out, drag his name through the mud. And we don't always read that portion of Scripture, but there in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29 and 30, talk about the fact that, you know, God can choose just to take you out. And I've kind of illustrated it this way. It's kind of like, okay, you got a little kid. And you go to visit somebody, and they're just acting up, you know, and finally you just say, well, that's enough. Come on, let's go home. God can do that to us, too, you know. And he's not obliged to let us live a long life while we're claiming to be a Christian and living in sin. He can just say, well, it's time to come home now, you know, and take us out. So we ought not to treat it lightly, okay? It's potentially life-threatening. Okay, well, I get to go to heaven. Yeah. You want to go today? If we were loading up a bus out there, okay, everybody wants to go to heaven. Get on board. It's leaving right now. Mm-hmm. Somebody's in. All right. We used to have to think, oh, well, but what about my kids or my grandkids or whatever, you know, some of the things kind of holding on to us. But we see here he's warning us about the potential. You know, there's not a good ending to these that falling into the temptation. So what's the wisest thing? If you know that you got a weak spot, and folks, we all got one, okay? And just like, you know, did you know that it's Super Bowl Sunday? Have you heard about that yet? Okay. So, the most anticipated thing in the world. Yeah, anyway. they've no doubt had scouts looking at the other team trying to find out where the weak spot's at. You know, who's the guy that's most likely going to fumble the ball or whatever. They're going to focus in on them and try to compound that error, all right? And again, Satan tried to do that to us too. So if we know that's where our weak spot's at, we better stay as far away from that thing as we can. Not be trying to, I think I'm pretty strong. I think I can get real close to this and it won't bother me. Wrong, all right? Well, he switches gears a little bit, but they're still tied together. And we look on into verse 16 and following, and we see God's goodness to us. Okay? And let's look there. He says, verse 16, "Do not err," or error, "my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Again, sometimes people blame God for the temptation, you know. Is it possible for us to err on the flip side of that? Instead of blaming God, we fail to give God the credit when he does give us good and perfect gifts. Do we acknowledge, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me another day. Thank you that I wouldn't wake up with a headache or whatever else that you may be plagued with," all right? "That the sun is out and it's going to be 50 degrees. Everybody run home and get their shorts and go for a walk around the block, you know." You know, we see here that God has the best in mind for us. He loves us. Just like as parents, you love your kids, you want what's best for them. And, you know, oftentimes we're tempted to try to make up for what we didn't have as kids or whatever. We're trying to help them out. You know, and you know, sometimes we're able to fall through with that. Sometimes we're just not capable of doing it. But God doesn't. You've had people that made promises to you and then went back on them, fell through. You know, "I'll be there. You can count on me." You know, where are they at? They didn't show up. Oh, okay. God doesn't make empty promises. The other thing, too, is what he gives us is described as a good gift. Okay? Do y'all go to the dollar store? Do you ever buy toys at the dollar store? Yeah. Okay. It's a cheap fix for kids for about 5 minutes. Hopefully they make it to the car before it gets broke. All right? You know, there's some counterfeit stuff in there, you know, and it looks really good, but you find out that, okay, what was it we had here a while back? It was something, had water or something in it, and you squeeze these things and the little ball's supposed to land, and pretty soon it's the water, you know, running down your arm or whatever. Yeah, it doesn't always work out good. Or some of you guys with the tools, you know, and you think, maybe I can get by with Harbor Freight sockets, you know. Or it was back before Harbor Freight was even around. But I remember I'd be doing something and it was really on there tight, you know. And you got the wrench on there, or you got the breaker bar on it. And well, that's still not coming loose. So you put a pipe on the end of it. Oh, yeah. It just cracked down the side of the... So then maybe I should have bought Craftsman sockets after all, you know. Well, Satan's offering us all kinds of counterfeit, fake stuff, you know. And God's saying, "Why do you want the fake stuff? I'm willing to give you the good stuff." But sometimes, again, we're in a hurry. We want the stuff right now. And I don't know if I got time to get too far off on the story, but Reminds me, sometimes some of you started, everybody starts out in a different place when you get married. Sometimes you're living in a little apartment, someplace cheap. You're just, you know, maybe you're eating macaroni and cheese for living on love kind of thing. Just getting by. But then I've seen others as the years go by that when they get married, they want to kind of start out with what mom and dad have after 30 years of marriage, you know. And a friend of mine comes to my mind. He had three sisters, and it was kind of interesting to see how they all worked out. And they didn't have an awful lot growing up. But anyway, they got married, bought them a nice house, and they had the really nice furniture. I mean, it was one of those things that you're afraid to let kids loose in because they might touch something and break it. But, you know, he had to work two jobs, and she was working, and grandma was watching the kids and to get, you know, pay for all this stuff. They didn't spend a whole lot of time together, and marriage kind of fell apart. You know, they had all the toys there for a while, but it didn't work out so well. You know, we want it all right now. We don't want to wait, okay? But God says, I'm going to give you the good stuff. I'm not going to give you the cheap imitation. And some of you remember buying some of the furniture, you know, and maybe it's a bedroom set. And, you know, it's pressed wood and with some plastic veneer stuff stuck on the outside of it. You know, it looks really good in the showroom, but a few years down the road, stuff starts twisting and bending, and it doesn't look quite so good. But God says, I got you the good stuff here. And he says it's a perfect gift, all right? And again, usually we're thinking perfect is sinless, but here it means complete. It's mature. It's inherently good. It's not lacking anything. There's no weak spot in this thing. He says, even beyond what God can choose to give you here now, all right, I've got the best is yet to come. Okay, I got some heavenly gifts, you know. And he says there, that was verse 17. He says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Okay, let's don't forget where they come from, you know, because sometimes people get the idea, I work for this, I earn this, I. Yeah, well, God can see that it disappears in a hurry, too, you know. That truck might be backing up to your front door and hauling some of it away. But he says here, he says that all of this comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. Okay? He's not emotional. He's not on a roller coaster. You know, we don't have to catch God when he's in a good mood. You know? He's one of these guys that's always the same. Right? And that's a good thing, right? And no shadow of turning. He says he's got heavenly gifts. Folks, we can't even imagine. You know, we can let our imaginations run on us, but we really can't even imagine what it was going to be like when we get to heaven, you know? And what God's got in store for us, you know? And he says there's no darkness at all. He's the Father of lights. And he's not going to pull a bait and switch on us. You're not going to get to heaven and, you know, instead of pearly gates, you know, it's some broken down old wooden gates swinging on one hinge saying, ha, tricked you, you bought the lie. No. Or those golden streets that, you know, they have to come down and spray paint them, you know, every other week to make them look good. No, it's going to be the real thing. And I don't know. You know, sometimes, again, we think we need to have it all right now. We might be a little bit selfish in that sense. We want to have it in those 80 and 10 or whatever the Lord happens to give us? Or are we willing to maybe wait a little while for God to give us things that are going to last? You know, today's treasure, tomorrow's garage sale stuff. Things that folks who can't take any of it with us anyway. We're going to leave it all behind. And I keep thinking, I got to live long enough to get my garage and my basement cleaned out. And I'm thinking, you know, it'd be a whole lot easier if we just have the rapture and let somebody else clean. If you want my house, fine. You know, here's the keys. You know. You know, but, you know, and then when we get there, everything's going to be in order. You know, there won't be anything. Some of you guys, I kind of like to call putter, but go around and fix stuff. We aren't going to have to worry about the screws on the hinges coming loose, you know, or that spot on the ceiling that paint bubbles up every time the shower's on. I need to scrape that off and redo that up there, you know, or whatever else, or the plumbing's starting to back up, you know, we got to get out the old rooter thing, you know. God's going to have some other things for us to do when we get there. We won't have to have those for hobbies, right? And so he's saying, don't be tricked into just biting on the bait for the here and now. God's got, ultimately he wants to give us the best. And if God wants us to have it, he'll give it to us. If he knows that it would mess us up, he's going to withhold it. See, now, I don't know where y'all at, but I'm guessing we probably couldn't all handle being a millionaire. Because if we could, we'd already be one. All right? All right? And maybe there's a few things more we need to learn before God gives it to us. You look at some of these people that inherit millions. You know, there was a kid that I went to school with. I don't know if his parents were millionaires, but they were doing pretty well. And mom and dad died, and he got all the money, and he's laying on a beach out there in Hawaii and doing drugs. And I don't think he lived too long, you know. So sometimes what we think that we need wouldn't be ultimately for our best. It's kind of a little bit like kids. Man, if it was up to them, what? Candy for breakfast, candy for lunch, you know, candy. the only guy who's happy about it is the dentist. But we kind of withhold some of that, you know, and give them a treat once in a while. But again, God's got the best in store for us, and he'll give it to us at the right time. He won't pull a bait and switch. And he probably is a bit disappointed at times in our lives when we get kind of suckered into, you know, getting the cheap stuff, the counterfeit stuff that the world and old Satan wants to give us. He's saying, trust me, I'm not holding out on you any more than he was holding out on Adam and Eve. He was looking out for their best good. That's why he warned them ahead of time. He says, don't eat of that tree. It's not going to be good for you. Is that what they do? Kind of like kids. You tell them, no, you stay out of that drawer. You know, pretty soon they're over there looking in that drawer. What's in there I'm not supposed to have? I want that, whatever it is. Yeah. So, you know, God's looking after us. But at the same time, we can't. Sometimes people bite on the bait. They get involved in sin. And then they are kind of upset with God. Why aren't you blessing me? Why aren't you answering my prayers? Why aren't you giving me all this stuff? You know, when they're living in sin, they won't deal. They want all that they can get out of the world and want God to keep on blessing them. It doesn't work that way, you know? And so we might be thinking about that as we kind of pull this together here. Maybe we ought to sit and analyze, am I chasing the counterfeits? Am I chasing after stuff that's really probably not best for me? Here's my weak spot. Or, Lord, help me to know where that weak spot's at. And so I can, you can strengthen me in that area of my life, and you help me to stay away from the temptation. And then how can I be stronger as a Christian so that I don't get suckered into some kind of temptation? You know, there's, you know, the best inoculation we can have against that is reading God's word, you know. And there's really no substitute for letting God talk to us and taking time to talk to Him through prayer. And the thing is, nobody but you and God probably know the difference. You know, it isn't like we punch a clock, we'll put our time in doing that, punch out, you know, or we get a check mark. God knows. And ultimately, we know too. And so, might be something to think about. Maybe there's something we need to trade off. Do a little less of this and have a little more of this. And we'll be in better shape at the end of the day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being straight and honest with us. None of us are above the ability to be tempted and to fall into sin. We all have that potential. And so, Lord, we pray that you might continue to help us to say no to sin, stay away from it, be alert to it, be alert to Satan's trickery, his deception. He tries to get us to bite on the counterfeit, the here and now, instead of willing to wait for the Lord. And we thank you for the way that you do watch over and care for us. As a Heavenly Father, there are times when you just say, no, you can't handle it. It's not good for you. And so in that sense, he does withhold, but he does so out of love, not because he's holding out on us like Satan wants us to think. So pray you might continue to encourage us and realize that God's got what's best for us in store for us, and he'll give it to us at the right time. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you. There's a few goodies downstairs. And regardless of what you've been told, carbs and calories still count on Sunday. I wish it were different, but... Do you think Bob's going to get you one, or I'll get two. Yeah, I'll try. You want a little snack to go with it, or something to dunk, or? Oh, I better shake this thing off.